our hearts, O Master, who lovest mankind with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thine all holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. Let us attend. The Lord said this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Holy Scripture and the Fathers of the Church teach us that the Orthodox faith is not, if you will, believing, but doing. And the doing, specifically, is denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Christ on the inner exodus of the gospel, through the wilderness of our soul, and into the tomb of our heart, and to the Jordan in the tomb of Christ. There, all that is earthly in us is put to death. Our lusts and pride, rooted in our self-esteem and egotism. And the tomb of our heart becomes a bridal chamber. The stone of our sin that sealed our heart from God is rolled away, and our heart opens onto the Garden of Eden beyond all things. Following Jesus, our Joshua, who comes forth from the tomb as a bridegroom in procession, we pass over with him into the promised land and come into the kingdom of heaven. To deny ourselves, to take up our cross and lose our life for Christ's sake, is to find our life not here in the region and shadow of death, but there in the Garden of Eden, the kingdom of light and life. In this hope, we deny our own will, and we submit in obedience to the guidance of the Church, following the seasons of the fast, according to our strength and circumstances, as the Church prescribes. We fast with our stomach in order to wrestle in a concrete way with our self-love, our greed, and our lust. We fast with our eyes. We fast with our ears, being careful what we allow into the windows of our mind, so that our inner man is shaped by the wisdom of God and not by the darkened wisdom of the world. Through the fast, we are fleeing the corruption of the world that is in lust and greed. We are coming out of Egypt, out of the city, here in the wilderness, as we make our exodus to the promised land of our inheritance, the kingdom of heaven. We pray. We pray in the radiant cloud, in the love of the Holy Theotokos, in the light of the Holy Spirit. And we are nourished by the living bread that comes down from heaven, which gives us even now a foretaste of the blessings of the heavenly kingdom. Living in this cloud of the Church, in the love of the Holy Spirit and of the Holy Theotokos, we orient our inner man Godward, not Egyptward. We're making our way to God, not to Egypt. The mark of the Orthodox Christian in this life of our earthly body, still in the world then, is that he is praying and fasting, taking up his cross in order to follow Christ. Because of indwelling sin, however, St. Macarius the Egyptian tells us, our heart is reluctant to deny herself for the sake of Christ. So perhaps the central distinguishing mark of the Orthodox Christian in this life is that he is fighting this reluctance of his heart. He is fighting to take the kingdom of heaven by violence, as the Lord says. But the violence that the fathers understand the Lord to be speaking of is the violence that we do to our soul's corrupted love for the world. And in this fight, fighting ourselves, fighting our love for the world, fighting our reluctance to pray and to fast and to worship God, we fight the good fight first against ourselves, not to give in to our love for the world. That doesn't mean that we don't love the world still and have corruptible love for the world. We still do, but that's what we're fighting, not to give in to. So in our parable this morning, the fact that this servant of the king would not forgive, as the king forgave him, tells us that he possessed the little faith that we heard the Lord talking about last Sunday. In other words, he was not taking up his cross. He was not denying himself and fighting, in this particular case, his desire to throttle the servant who owed him. So his was not the faith of the mustard seed. Note that the servant this morning is not punished because he wanted to throttle the servant that owed him. He's punished because he did throttle the servant who owed him. In other words, he's punished because he chose to give in to that desire and he acted it out. So when we find that we have no desire to forgive those who sin against us, and this principle applies across the board, when we find that we have no desire to pray, to turn our heart towards God, when we find we have no desire anymore, you know, to pray, to come to church even, for a feast or for a vigil or whatever, that's not the sin. It doesn't mean that we've transgressed or fallen away without meaning to. What it means is that we're still in the wilderness. We're not yet wholly transfigured or wholly deified. We still have work to do. The work of the faith that was given to us at our baptism. The work of uniting ourselves to Christ as we swore we would do at our baptism. As we were talking about in adult ed this morning, we've we figured out that we make that oath nine times. Nine times. We swear that we will unite ourselves to Christ. This work of uniting ourselves to Christ is the work of making our way through the wilderness of our soul and into the tomb of our heart to become one with Christ in the bridal chamber. And we do this work by not giving in to our love for the world and not acting it out. Remember that the Lord was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, precisely for the purpose of being tempted by the devil, so that he could triumph over the devil in the wilderness. If we have received Christ in the sacraments of the church, then he is with us on the wilderness as we make our way, as we make our exodus, taking up the cross of the fast, which is to deny our desire to give in to our love for Egypt and not to give in to our desire to return to Egypt. This, it seems to me, is the foundation of our prayer in the church. Fasting gives traction to the work of prayer, which I think we could say is initially, prayer initially is the inner work of turning away from the lust and greed of our worldly ego in order to unite ourselves to Christ in true prayer. In fasting and prayer, we nail our resolve to the cross of Christ. It is by the power of Christ's cross, not by our own power, we are given the power to triumph over the devil in our union with Christ. So again, if we don't want to forgive as we expect God to forgive us, we find that we just cannot love our enemy, just cannot give ourselves to forgiving him. That simply tells us that we're still in the wilderness, fighting our corrupted desire to go back to Egypt. We still must engage ourselves in the work of faith, the work of uniting ourselves to the cross of Christ in order to put to death the sin that has become embodied in us. And we do that work in this particular case by choosing, we choose not to give in to the sweet desire of throttling our debtor, whether with our hands or with our mind. We choose not to give in to that desire. And we choose to follow the Lord's command according to our strength and our circumstances, even if that means that we can do nothing more than to pray for our enemy through clenched teeth. This, I think, is what the faith of the mustard seed looks like. With this, we may have stumbled onto the deeper meaning of the Lord's command to this in this parable, to forgive from our heart. For where does this desire to follow Christ in order to fight our desire to give in to our love for Egypt, where does it come from? How is it that we can choose to go against our desire for the world, for Egypt? Does this not show that there is a desire in us that is deeper than and beyond our desire for Egypt? That desire comes into view when we believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ in the faith of the church. And I would say that desire is given its first expression, its first real expression, precisely in that oath of the baptism. When the candidate is asked, and nobody is forcing him, he is asked to answer freely of his own will. Do you unite yourself to Christ? And he says, I do unite yourself to Christ, myself to Christ. Have you united yourself to Christ? I have united myself to Christ. Might this desire that is given expression, this deeper desire, that is given expression in this oath of our baptism, might this be coming and originating from our heart? Our heart that is deep beyond all things, as the prophet says. And the prophet says, it is the man. The heart is deep, is beyond all things, and it is the man. That is to say, it is the true self, made in the image and likeness of God. It is our true self that is beyond our ego. It's the true self that is beyond our self-will, beyond our love for the world. It is beyond our self-love, our pride, our vanity. It's beyond all of that. In that spiritual mystery of our inmost being, where we open beyond ourselves onto the God who loved us and gave himself for us, and in whose likeness and communion we long to be, I'm thinking that's where this will comes from. This will, this desire that we act on out of resolve, out of for the sake of Christ, simply because we want to obey Christ. I love Egypt. I want to go back to Egypt. Again and again and again, I want to go back to Egypt. I want to give in to my anger. I want to give in to my lust. I want to give in to my envy, my greed, my gluttony. I want to give in to all of those things. I want to. But I choose not to. Why? What is that will by which I choose not to give in to my choice to go to Egypt? I'm saying it is the will that comes from our heart, the heart that is deep and beyond all things, and that is my true self, where I am made in the image and likeness of God, where I open unto God. So when the Lord commands us to forgive from our heart, I hear him commanding us not to feel all warm and gooey and sentimental, you know, for our loved, for the one who has wronged us. What I hear him saying is to deny ourselves. Don't give in to your don't give in to your love for hatred of your enemy. Don't give in to it. Don't act that out. When the thought of hatred and anger comes into your mind, fight it. Fight it. Don't indulge it. Don't dwell on it. Don't give in to it. Fight it. Fight it on the outside. Fight it on the inside. This is what it means to demand, to deny ourselves for Christ's sake. For when we choose to act as Christ commands us, not in the way that I want to act, but in the way that Christ commands me to act, I am denying myself. And I am choosing to lose my life for his sake. And in that moment, perhaps we can say, we enter in a real way into Christ's holy resurrection. For in that moment, we are descending, are we not? In some way, we are descending beyond our ego, down into our heart. And we are raising up this deeper desire that originates in the heart. And acting on that deeper desire, rather than on the desire to throttle those who sin against us, whether on the outside or the inside, we are acting in accordance with the image and likeness of God in which we were created. In this, it seems to me that we discover, not by reading a book, not by talking about it, but by doing it, we discover the wondrous, metaphysical, ontological mystery of who and what we are. God's sons of the Most High. To forgive from the heart, then, doesn't mean to feel all warm and sentimental for those who wrong us, or working myself up into some, you know, warm and gooey feeling so that the anger is somehow stuffed. You stuff it, but it's still there. And sooner or later, it's going to come back and snap you in the butt. So that doesn't work. That's not what it means to forgive from the heart. It means to deny that anger. It means not to act it out. Not to act out the hatred. Don't act it out. Don't give in to it. And instead, choose to act out mercy, kindness, goodness. Why? Because Christ commands it. Not because that's what I want to do. Because Christ commands it. Now I'm denying myself and losing my life for his sake. And I believe that this is the faith of the mustard seed by which we make our exodus through the wilderness of our soul into the tomb of our heart that is deep beyond all things. By this faith of the mustard seed, a faith that consists, as it were, not in believing but in doing the commandments of Christ, the mountain, or let's say the stone, is rolled away from the tomb of our heart to reveal the risen Christ, bringing us into the land of our inheritance, the Garden of Eden, where wholly transfigured in the love of Christ, now we are truly able to say, because we truly want to, because we truly desire it, we are truly able now to say in the resurrection of Christ, the one who I hate, I'm able to call him my brother. I'm able to call brother even those who hate us. And in the resurrection, we are able, because we want to, forgive all things. But to get there, I have to go through the wilderness. And that means taking up my cross and not going back to Egypt, but resolutely, willfully, intentionally making my way towards the promised land by taking up my cross and doing what the Lord tells me to do, for no other reason than that he commands it of me, and that is in that obedience that I am brought to life in God, and that I am raised into the love of God, and truly become a child of God. May it be so. May the Lord help us. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.